Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back in making his ninth appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Houston Oilers Pro Bowl quarterback Dan Pastorini. Dan has been one of our favorites since the very first time that we got to have him on. And oh, by the way, that was almost 7 years ago to the day. He first joined us back on March the 15th. So we've been blessed to know Dan for quite a while now. And a finer individual you will not find, and certainly been one of Bob and I's favorites here on the show. That's why he is now a part of our Thursday Night Tailgate Guest Hall of Fame. Dan was just inducted into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame a few weeks ago, and we are very excited that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Dan, Chris, and Bob, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Has it been that long, really?
It really has. March 15, 2012 was the first time
Holy
you joined
mackerel.
Us, if you can believe
wow.
it. I know it.
We were much younger.
Indeed, we were.
For sure.
So, Dan, congratulations on the Houston Sports Hall of Fame. That had to be a great night for you. Talk about what that was like.
Well, I tell you what, it was, to me, it meant everything. And just the fact that we're representing the Love You Blue years here in Houston, which are the most iconic years of any sports teams in this area. And just to be recognized for that decade, and the guys that came in for the event, leaving that Joe Green there that night. It was special for me. I mean, this is, I love this city. You know, I came here from California. You know, the first 2 years were kind of struggling years, and then we got some respectability toward the end of the decade in the 70s. It was just good to see everybody. I was totally blown away by getting the award, but, you know, I accepted it on behalf of the Love You Blue team, the Love You Blue city of Houston, and the fans, and, you know, the great coaching staff we had, the great Bob, and people behind the scenes. It was, it's something that we can all cherish, and we'll have some permanency here now. Instead of just being the hearts and minds of everybody, we'll actually have some recognition here in the city that people can go and see and say, yes, that was us here. So I'm really very honored to get that honor.
And Dan, you were inducted that night along with golfing great Jackie Burke and four-time Indianapolis 500 winner A.J. Foyt and then former heavyweight champion George Foreman. What was it like sharing the stage and the night with those guys?
Well, I'll tell you what, they're all very good friends. We've gotten to know each other. Jackie Burke and I played together in a pro-am here in Houston back in the early years when we were like 4-9-1 and 1-13 in the early 70s. We were getting invited to play in the PGA tournament that they had at the Houston Open at the time, I think it was called. And they were bringing out all the Cowboys players. So I kind of blasted the committee and the news media and said, how come they let the Cowboys come in here and play, but they won't let any of us play in their tournament if we're the hometown team? So finally I was selected to play 1 year. My playing partner was Jackie Burke. I think it was 1972 or 73. And my playing partner was Jack Burke, and we wound up winning the pro-am. And then A.J. Foyt, when I was growing up as a kid, when I was 9 years old, I was a big race car fan, and, you know, the Indy 500 and watching A.J. win all those races. And then coming here in the early 70s and having the opportunity to meet him, he invited me to come over to the shop. I actually got in his Coyote car, and I got in it okay. Getting out of it was the hard part. But he was really my inspiration to get into drag racing. And George Foreman, I just always admired from a distance. And I told him at the banquet, I said, he's the exact reason why I never got into the ring or tried in boxing because of him. So we're all pretty good friends. You know, we're here in the city of Houston. We get to see each other quite a bit. But to be amongst those honorees is just something very, very special for me and something that I'll remember forever.
And Dan, I got to ask you, speaking of George Foreman, how big are Foreman's hands?
Hey, I mean, the guy's got paws. And you shake his hand, and I've got pretty big hands, you know, holding footballs and everything. But I mean, I grip his hand, and I feel like a little kid shaking his giant hand. He's got the biggest hand I've ever seen in a man. But I'll tell you what, he's one of the nicest people, but they're all nice guys. Jackie Burke, 95 years old, he's sharp as a cat. He got up there and started catching up, and everybody was just enjoying him. AJ's not getting around very well now. He just got a hip replacement. And in fact, my doctor just did my hip replacement to play too. But George, I'll tell you what, George gets around really good. He looks in good shape. He looks like he can go a few rounds, I think.
Bob, questions for Dan?
It's always great to talk to you, Dan. And I've always marveled at your athleticism. And to me, the way you were able to punt the ball as well as throw the ball. And that was my first question, Dan. When you came out of college, everybody knew about your arm. Did you have any idea or were told that you were going to be punting right in your first few years of the league? I don't think any quarterback has done it since.
Well, I did it ever since I was playing organized football. I wore the number 7 because my dad was telling me about this guy named Bob Waterfield. And Bob Waterfield was a quarterback and a punter and a kicker. And so it kind of inspired me, he challenged me to learn how to do all that stuff. And when I got to high school, you know, I just did it all. I kicked, I punted, and played quarterback. And I just was blessed with, you know, the ability to do that. And back 1 year, my senior year in high school, we couldn't find a guy to hold the ball, catch a snap and hold the ball. So we just drop kicked the extra points and field goals. But it was just something that I, you know, was blessed to have the ability to do and develop. And I wish I'd have never had to punt. Being a quarterback, you wish you make drives and score points all the time. But when you had to punt, you know, I wanted to make sure that you had a guy back there that understood the game and understood field position, how important it was. I got to be pretty good at covering corner kicks. So, really, I'm just like, it's part of the game that I enjoy doing. You know, the more you can do, the longer you hang around, that type of thing.
And Dan, we talked to Tony Collins earlier in the show, and he brought up the name of Earl Campbell, what kind of bruising running back and how his body took such a beating. You were able to play with Earl 2 years, and I'm sure he's was one of the greatest football players you were ever around. I was just wondering if you got to see him a lot over the years, your relationship like him, and your memories of him as a football player.
Well, as a football player, I mean, he was a devastating runner. There's no question about that. I wish he had better hands, so involved in the passing game a little more. And,
yeah.
You know, a couple games I got him the ball and over the middle and ran over a couple safeties. That's what I've been trying to do with you for a while. Get you the ball in there and let you run over the safety. Those little guys are safety. Instead of having to run through big offensive line and defensive linemen up there in the front. But he's doing okay. You know, he's got that stenosis and not getting around with a lot of kind of shame things, you know, in his body. Deteriorated over the years, but he's getting around pretty good. In fact, I just saw him at one of our teammates, had a charity event the other night. Earl was the teacher speaker, Robert Woods was there for Centers for Success, and got to see him a little bit there, talked to him a little bit there, but we see each other, you know, we don't see each other enough, but, you know, it's the time of life. He's going off in different directions, doing different things, but he's always been a favorite of mine, and a favorite of everybody here in Houston, Texas, that's for sure. Earl of Pearl, man, that's for sure.
Dan, I want to ask you a couple of questions, kind of going back to, for one, going back to your playing time, but another, just when you look at the great quarterbacks from your era, you know, yourself, Terry Bradshaw, Namath, who we've talked about on the show tonight, Tarkenton, Unitas, Greasy, Staubach, all of those guys. Now, you guys played in a time where the rules are so different than what they are now about, you know, who, when you can touch a guy, you know, when you can, how you can cover a guy, you know, all those sorts of things. The game is so different. So we hear now, right? Everyone, oh, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. There's no question. Boy, I got to wonder if the quarterbacks from your era, if you guys could play under the rules of today, how great your numbers would have been. Do you ever get a little antsy, you know, about hearing about how great the quarterbacks are now when you think it's just such a different game? If we played under your rules, boy, we would be lighting it up too.
Well, you know, we can always look back and say ours is a tougher era and all that stuff, but it's still a pretty tough. I think with the new rules, things allows players to elongate their careers a little bit longer than in the early days when we took all those hits. He played 13 or 15 years at quarterback in the old days, pretty banged up. Not that they don't get banged up today either, but, you know, we make it 35, 36, that's pretty good. But a lot of us didn't go that far. I think I retired at 33 or 34. But, you know, these guys are playing into their late 30s and early 40s. You know, maybe somebody like Joe Capp would have been playing. He'd still be playing today if he had those rules back then, you know. But it's a different game. You know, we were more of a vertical passing game. You know, you get a running back like Earl Campbell sitting behind you whenever I stuck the ball in his belly. People paid attention, and that enabled us to throw the ball downfield to our wide receivers and our tight ends and make big plays. We weren't really that interested in all the quick screens. We did run some quick screens early on. You know, we're effective on first downs and stuff. But we never had a back like Earl Campbell or Walter Payton, Barry Sanders. You're gonna feature them. They're the guys that are gonna ground out the yards and eat up the clock. And that's kind of the important thing of the game is advance the ball, score, eat the clock up. So.
And then when you played prior to the Mel Blount rule, wide receivers could get knocked down, pushed off the routes. You could really do anything to a wide receiver anywhere on the field that you wanted to. Talk about the challenge of completing passes back in the, you know, the early part and the late part of the 70s.
Well, you didn't really have the throwing lanes that you have now. I mean, guys were getting assaulted coming off the line of scrimmage and were pretty beat up all the way down the field for about 10 yards. Pass interference was not a call that frequented in the old days. Whereas nowadays, you just these guys, the ball's in the air, it's pass interference. So I think it enables the throwing lanes to be a little bit enlarged, than in our day. I think you had to anticipate better. You had to make sure that, you know, you could fit the ball in certain areas, but nowadays, it's spread out the offenses and spread out the defenses, and you've got these slot backs that are, you know, little jackrabbits and hard to cover. Saw that in Patriots against the Rams Super Bowl, but it's just you just can't touch them, so you're not going to be able to knock them off their routes and make it difficult for us to throw the ball to them.
Dan, one more before we let you go, and you've become a great partner with us here on the show and your company, DP Quality Foods. Talk about all the great spices and the things you have available when people go online to dpqualityfoods.com.
Well, we just have the two spices. We've got the Texas-style rub and the garlic and herb spice, or old family recipes, and that seem to be, you know, hanging around. You know, we're in Walmarts now, in walmart.com, and HEB's here in Texas, and we're expanding into other areas of the country with Walmart, and we're just kind of making it happen. You know, it's something you got to work hard at, and we're doing that, and everybody seems to like it, that's for sure. And a good thing about that, but you know, I appreciate you guys helping us, you know, keeping us out there in the social media and making the fans aware of the product. It's helped us because you've exposed the product to them, and they've tasted it, and they like it. And that's kind of our motto. We get it in their mouths, they're going to like it, more people will buy it.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. Let our listeners know how they can stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, both online and on social media.
Well, online, we're Dan Pastorini's Quality Foods. Check us out there. I've got my Dan Pastorini charity .org. Online, and we're on Instagram at Dan Pastorini Quality Foods.
Well, Dan, it's always a thrill for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. We hope you'll come back and join us again real soon. In between now and then, all the best to you and your family, my friend.
Thanks again, Dan.
Thanks a lot, guys. Good talking to y'all.
You too.
You too, Dan. Take care. Right. That is the great Dan Pastorini. Bob, it's always a lot of fun talking to Dan, and certainly when you look back over the course of his career and the things that those Houston Oilers teams did back in the late 70s, early 80s, certainly had a lot of success, and could have had even greater success if it wasn't for my Steelers. And they certainly were a team that always scared me when we played them in the playoffs.
Yeah, when he got Earl Campbell in the late 70s, Chris, they automatically became a playoff team, but just great memories of Pastorini. My father talking about him when he was still at Santa Clara, what kind of athlete was he and how he could kick and throw the ball, and just such a throwback and such a good, loyal friend of the show. It's always an honor to have him on.
We've got our next guest, Gay Culverhouse, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Gay on the other side of this quick station break.